We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher, and the number one Dallas Cowboys fan in America. And I also just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
Why did you start adding that into your intro?
A new year, new me. Well, I mean, why not?
So you're
I am the number one Dallas Cowboys fan in America, so why
but
not?
You're really not.
But
you're really not.
Who says?
I do. Because I guarantee you there is someone out there that can name every single Cowboy player and their number, their stats. All you are is a typical Cowboys fan.
Coach, it's the same thing.
You know the starters. You know, okay, you know what I mean? You're good when they're winning, and when they're losing, you're out walking the dog.
I don't know the who's or the what's what's. That's my problem. This is the same thing as having a burger place and saying we're the best burger in America. No, how can you prove that?
If you get voted that.
No, there are
people. Someone can vote
you that. Some people on the sign says, this is the best burger in America.
Now, I've never seen America. I've seen in town.
Okay.
I've seen in town, but that's
you
because...
You can't prove that.
No. Because they're voted by someone by, like, the eater.com.
No, that's different.
Or the Austin American Statesman voted us the best, you know, top-notch hamburgers, best burger place in Austin.
There's a restaurant I went to in Dallas, and I forgot the name of it, but it all over it, it says, home of the first frozen margarita ever. Bullshit. Like, I don't know.
No, it could. Let me see. Let me Google.
Okay.
First frozen margarita.
And tell me if it was in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Mariano Martinez, born 1944, is a Mexican-American inventor, entrepreneur, and restaurateur, and creative artist. And in 1971, he adapted a soft-serve ice cream machine to making margaritas and dubbed it the world's first frozen margarita machine in Dallas, Texas.
Coach, the restaurant I went to, it's called Mariano's.
Okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. People make claims, and you just come on here and you bash the guy.
I was like, what? Such crap. Prove to me that you were the first dude to make a frozen margarita. Well, you just did. My bad.
So you didn't even have the margarita
I
to
did.
Celebrate.
I had it.
How was it?
It was all right.
No, it's the best ever.
No, it was the first.
Oh, first ever.
Yes.
Guys, we forgot to introduce Pitts.
Come on, Pitts.
What up, brother?
What up?
All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, boys. Yeah. Glad to be back.
Do a little intro again there for you.
Guys, I'm Pitts. I come in here once in a while to talk sports with these Yahoos. Glad to be here. Been away for a while, but I'm ready to be back. My team's still in the playoffs, boys.
Your Steelers?
My team's still in the playoffs. I can't keep the smile off my face, man. I'm excited.
You're pumped.
I'm pumped. I mean, there's a lot of things to be pumped about. We still got a chance to host the AFC Championship game, bub.
It must be cool to have a team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
It's been a while for you, Coach.
It's been 1 year.
Oh, yeah, Parkey.
Trubisky's coming back, though.
Guys.
It was a joke.
No, but here's the thing. People
Coach, did you see the video?
Yeah, yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the double doink.
No, not that video.
The quarterback video.
There was a guy.
Yeah, I retweeted it. I put it on the Twitter. It was hilarious.
I love
it. Absolutely well done. Like, yes. That kid was creative. Like, I mean, it was
him
like
and his buddy. Hey, don't forget the receiver. Okay. He was part of it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it was like, it was showing the different quarterbacks and like, oh, here's Tom Brady, here's Drew Brees, and here's Trubisky. And it's like throwing way left when the receiver's over on the right side of the screen.
Throws it into a bush.
What do you think? I thought Philip Rivers one was pretty good, too. Throws the pick and then he goes right back.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was well done. Very creative. I don't know who put that together, but bravo to them.
Yeah, I got to get out of it.
Speaking
too.
Of, like, real quick, the videos, like, it's funny how videos like that go viral, and this dude and his buddy probably make this dumb video, but it catches on because it's funny. Dude, our video is still out there. The video of us proving that guy.
Oh, man, that was bad.
Pitts, a while back, some dude put a video up on YouTube.
This high school football player puts up a video on YouTube. Right, and it's like him throwing a 40-yard pass, and he runs and catches it himself.
Gotcha, I've seen.
Me being the video guy, I'm like, this is impossible. I'll tell you exactly how they did it. So me and Lunchbox, we went and recreated this video, and Lunchbox threw the ball up in the air the same way this guy did and ran down the street and caught his own pass.
Not
It wasn't real. We did it the way he did it. We proved to the YouTube world that what he did was fake.
Now, he wasn't an athlete.
He was a high school athlete.
Okay, so here, I'll go ahead and be the dumb guy. Are any of those real? Is that even possible? Because I've seen some, like, the legitimate, I think.
Yeah, show me the ball and I'll believe you. But in a world of animation, Coach, yeah, anything looks real.
Okay, how about on Facebook? I saw this one today on Facebook. Tell me if it's real. I need to know. I need to see it. Okay. I will show it to you. It's like a golf ball, okay? They start at the top, like way up in the house, and it like rolls down. It starts knocking things over and going through tubes and goes all the way down the stairs in the basement through a vacuum tube, knocks over some dominoes, hits another golf ball, rolls in between two clubs, hits this, boom, bounces on three pots, and lands in the cup. Is that real?
One shot or edited?
Well, that's on that. We would need your.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, you're a video guy, so you'd be able to tell the truth. It looked like one shot to me.
I mean, if it's a continuous shot and the camera follows the ball the entire way, or does it edit?
I think it follows the ball the entire.
I mean, they are like on top of the ball the whole way.
Is that the one where it looks a little bit weird though? As it's going around the stairs? I've seen one like when it goes.
I mean, there's a lot. Now you're talking
to me when it goes from the outside when it goes around that staircase. If we're thinking about the same video where it goes to the outside, you know, like they're going down the stairs, goes around to the front door. To my eye, I don't know what it looks like. Something's different there. Like it doesn't look like the ball rolls the way it does.
The dude perfect guys. Like that stuff's real because you can see how long it took him to do that, and they'll do other videos where it shows how long it took him. But like, you know, miraculous shots. But a lot of this stuff, like the way we prove that 40-yard self-catch pass was fake, is because you don't see the ball. He throws the ball out of the screen.
Right.
So what we did is Lunchbox threw the ball out of the screen, and then we had someone else behind Lunchbox out of the picture. Throw a pass, a regular pass, and time it to where Lunchbox is running and catches it.
So there's actually more talent in what you do to make it look like a video.
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty talented to throw a ball 40 yards.
You can't do it.
No, he's saying he can't do it.
It's impossible.
The talent lies in making it look like a real video. There's where the talent is.
Yeah.
Unless the hang time is ridiculous, which you can't do that with an arm.
I'd have trouble believing the same person. I could see somebody with a crazy arm. And somebody with crazy speed.
Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, there's lots of people that have a good arm. But, I mean, is there anybody that can do it? I'd be curious if anybody can do that.
His crazy video is the one where he throws it out of the stadium.
That, out of Arrowhead. Yeah. And there's also one where, and I think.
Is that real?
I think so, because just like you spoke of, the continuous, I think it's a continuous shot of the football. You can't see it land on the other side, obviously, because the whole shot is from the inside of the stadium.
No, I saw one where it landed.
But I think that's where the video
changed. I saw him throw it out of the stadium, run up the tunnel, run out there and catch it.
Okay, coach.
No, I'm saying the video. There's one video from straight inside. You can watch it all the way until you exits, and then there's another video on the outside seeing the ball.
Here's the problem with editing and everything. I just don't know what to believe.
It's not only editing. Now you can just CGI everything. You can make a ball go in wherever you want it to, and none of it was real.
Okay, what's CGI? I'm dumb.
I don't know either, brother.
It's computer generated images.
Got you.
Makes sense. And that's the hard part. I don't know what to believe. It's sort of like when these coaches come out and say, I'm not going anywhere. I love Waco. You got to understand, when you take another job, you rip your family out of a job. You rip your family out of a city.
Did he say that?
Oh, yeah.
Quote.
Talking about, it's not just about money. It's about being comfortable.
It's about family. It's my community's here. I get my groceries here.
You got to understand that if I'm taking another job, we're ripping our families up out of the community that they become a part of, the schools, everything. So sometimes it's about being comfortable. He said this a week ago. And so I was sitting here going, man, Matt Rhule staying in Waco. He is going to stay there because before the bowl game, they're talking all this speculation about NFL coaching jobs. And he's like, nope. Listen, sometimes it's not about the money. Well, guess damn what?
It was about the money.
Let me just tell you that exactly what that was nothing but about the money, because all that does is create more incentive for them to get you away if they wanted you away to begin with.
It was a leverage thing.
Right.
Did he say all that before the bowl game?
Yes.
Well, and they lost.
Well, it's not about losing.
It could be.
Because he said, I think Baylor, we can be a perennial playoff contender.
It's a flower term. Keep the flower term with the flowers and come up with a better term for football.
He doesn't know perennial's a flower. He doesn't know that's a flower.
Go ahead.
What?
It's a gardening term.
Perennial's a flower.
It comes up every year.
Yeah,
but that's what he's saying. Every year they can be in the playoff.
Have you ever heard anyone say, guys, I am a perennial politician. I will be running for office every year. No.
No, you don't say you're a perennial playoff team because you're in the playoffs every year.
Okay.
You say it all. That's what you
guys,
say.
Guys, come up with a better term.
Give me another term. Every year we're a playoff
team?
There
we
go.
No,
see, that's dumb.
Okay.
Okay. So he says this because they were asking him about all these NFL rumors before the bowl game, and he's like, it's unfair. It's a distraction to the kids. Okay, I get that. But if you're going to say that, say, hey, it's a distraction to the kids. We'll talk about it after the bowl. Don't sit here and give me this whole speech about, oh, you know, about ripping the kids out of the community and, oh, it's so hard on the family and you sometimes you just got to be happy. The leverage worked because he got 7 years. 7 years. This is almost a John Gruden-like contract. 7 years, $60 million guaranteed. With incentives, he can make $70 million.
That wears the bib?
$10 million a year.
How much does
Bill Belichick get paid?
Hold on. Was Baylor good last year?
Yeah, they were one game away from the playoffs. They were in the Big 12 championship.
Last year?
This year?
No, last year.
I don't...
Not this one. Last year.
They were pretty good.
But they were were they a playoff team?
No.
What about the year before that?
Perennial playoff.
Here's the thing.
Who are we talking about here? The dude that wears the bib?
Matt Rhule.
The dude that wears the bib that we've been watching in 1 year?
He is a No. You have only been watching him 1 year. He took a Temple program that was down in the dumps and brought them into bowls and made them very good.
Ja Rhule.
No.
What's his name?
Matt Rhule.
Okay.
So then he goes and takes over a Baylor program that was just, I mean, pretty much decimated by that whole the rape scandal, the whole Art Briles, that whole situation where no one wants to go near it. And what he was able to do, they win one game, then five games, then 10 games. He has built them in the last 3 years. He has turned it around to an 11-2 season or 11-3 season, whatever they were. And he is very respected amongst the coaching ranks. He's been in the NFL where he's coached on all the different, you know, special teams, linebacker. You know, he's a well-respected coach. Everybody thinks he's a very good football mind and he runs a good program.
The guy that wears the bib.
Ja Rhule.
Yes. Got it. What is up with the bib? Look what Belichick wears. It doesn't matter what you freaking wear on the sideline.
Okay.
So this is Baylor.
What do you want him to wear, a shirt and tie?
He's the only one wearing a bib, Coach.
What should he wear?
I don't know. A polo like everyone else? Just a regular coach clothing?
Cut the sleeves off?
Yeah, cut the sleeves off.
No, he has his own style. Why does he have to copy everybody?
Okay, well, then I want to see him.
Why can't you be your own individual?
What do you mean by a bib?
Pull up the picture of him.
Yeah, Google Matt Rhule.
Okay.
Not Ja Rhule.
How close is he to that first ever margarita?
Okay, Bill Belichick.
Here's what's crazy.
Bill Belichick, I think, if Google is right, $12 million a year. That means Matt Rhule is going to be on the just $2 million less? He's never coached an NFL game?
$2 million's a lot of money. Coach.
So you're upset.
It ain't that many.
You're upset with million. Matt because he said.
He says.
No, coach, he's upset because he lied to Lunchbox and the people. Like, stop. These people don't care about
you.
Well,
let me ask you this because, I get it. We're men to men.
Did you see the bib?
Yeah, I do see. I see a vest, too. Is that what you mean?
That's a vest.
It's not even.
It's not a vest.
It's not a true
vest.
It's
very strange.
Yeah, it's an odd look, and I agree with you.
It's his own look, and I respect that. But if you're gonna be bib dude, I want you to wear that in Carolina.
Is that two different shirts? So it's an undershirt and then just strictly.
It looks like one shirt, like his wife made it or something.
No, it looks like it's a vest, and it has a shirt underneath.
He looks like a guy holding the first down marker. But it says Baylor on it instead of
100%. Or you know what it looks like something that the TDOT guys would wear,
construction guys, the guys that say stop, and then they turn the sign and it says go, and then they turn it again and says stop.
I don't know why you guys hate Matt Rhule so much.
Whoa, I'm not hating. I'm just saying if you're gonna wear the bib in Baylor, wear it in Carolina.
Oh, I he plans on wearing it. He probably wore it at Temple. I mean, let's
so he's when Carolina he's the Panthers then.
Yeah, he's going to the Panthers.
But let me ask, what is the man supposed to do? You know, just professionals. I'm not defending the man, but guys
go for the money.
No, I'm not saying the decision. Oh, of course that. Well, just like any of us would. I mean, not where we're at now.
That's
but
what I'm saying. He gets
positions.
All mad when like.
Well, I think he lets some of his sports opinion come into the fact that that's his.
Lunchbox?
That's his. Yeah, that's his job. We are sports as fans, but that's his job. Like, what does he expect to get up there and say? You know, no, I don't want to judge the guy's character because he probably, listen, he's probably I'm not the saying same he's thing, a like, bad I'm character guy.
No, you're upset because he lied to you.
I was saying.
I just don't know that he has a choice based on the position he has, especially pre-bowl game. Hey, guys, it's been a great year. I'm really looking forward to the NFL.
Brother,
I mean, what's
great
he
point.
Supposed to do?
He can say no comment.
No.
Yeah, but that's the same
thing. This is entertainment. He's got to have an opinion.
He's also, and you got to remember.
He's using it for leverage. And I understand.
I don't know about that, though.
Yes, because what he's saying is, if you want me to come to the NFL, you're going to need to sweeten that pot. You're going to increase it. Like, if you were going to offer me $8 million a year, you might want to offer me $9.5 million.
You really think what someone says on a TV interview
absolutely
goes directly to a closed room meeting? I don't think so, Coach.
No, it doesn't go. No, it gets it's him sending a message saying, hey, if you really want me, you're going to have to make it worth
Coach,
my while.
How does
while.
An interview send that message? You know what sends the message?
Because he doesn't.
You sitting in front of the person and saying, I'm not doing it unless this.
But that's what I'm saying. He doesn't. Going into that meeting, then the teams know, okay, we're going to have to make a little bit stronger of an offer than we were previous.
You put too much stock into TV interviews.
No, I think if you have your player's best interest in mind, you go into the locker room and you say, hey, guys, look, I'm excited about the bowl game, this and that. We've got so many hours before. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. You know, I'm going to let you know I've got to go face the media. I've got to do – I don't know if it was a media environment or a meeting environment. I've got to go. There's probably going to be some uncomfortable questions. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. There's talks about me maybe not being a coach next year. Guys, I don't know what I'm going to do. Understand that this is a job to me. My family is number one to me. But if you don't think I don't love each and every one of you men like my own family, I can't guarantee I'm going to be here next year. I can guarantee I'm going to be here for you today. But I'm going to let you know that when I walk out of the locker room, I'm going to go sit in front of those reporters. And if I have to say something that isn't true because I have your best interest in mind, know that I don't mind saying that. If I say that I may be here next year, I haven't made a decision. Guys, know that you're going to be the first ones that know if I'm going to be a coach here next year. Not the reporters, not the media, not the people that write my checks, guys.
But that's not true because the media is what – now he has to go back and tell the team that he's not going to be
but
there.
But I don't know. I'm saying
no, he probably already
speech.
Did.
I'm saying it's –
we're trying to tell you.
We're basing opinions based on only the stuff that we're exposed to. I don't want to think that any of these people are the people. There are probably some bad people, but I don't think that guy stood up there thinking, you know, I'm just going to lie on purpose. But what kind of situation, you know, really, if you don't want to touch it, then before the cameras come on, you say, look, guys, I've got a bunch of boys in that locker room and men that are ready to go out there and fight one last time for me in this organization this season. Maybe not forever, but that's all we're really focused on. So for I'm going to pretend like I don't hear any of you that raise your hand and ask me about my question as a future as a coach, whether it be in college football or the ranks. I'm not going to answer the question. So all you're going to do is embarrass yourself if you say, Matt Rhule, what are you going to be doing next year? Because I'm focused on today. You want to ask me what plays I'm running in the first half?
What are you talking about, though?
Anybody that makes a direct, like, say, look, guys, before this starts.
He's talking about at the press conference.
Yeah, before
he's saying
it starts
the press conference.
Off.
You have a lot of assumptions, though. You're assuming that all these conversations take place. I'm sure sometimes they do.
No, I'm just saying before it starts, say, guys, I'm not going to answer any questions.
And
about
I don't
that
know
kind
of if thing. That happened, but that no, would be the
saying,
right way to do it.
This is what he's saying, how it should have been held.
And it might have. I do believe that from what we see is very different from what happened, the conversations that happen when they're really before we see the interviews or afterwards.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, coach,
the cameras are rolling right when he walks in to the podium.
No, coach, but he's
okay. If the cameras are rolling, even let the cameras roll. Hey, guys,
no,
I
understand what you're saying. Oh. Eddie's saying that doesn't like we don't see. I'm like, yes.
If
Matt, if you're watching it live, you're going to see it. He's saying, just like in our line of work, guys, we know what's raw in our industry, what we consider raw. Meaning,
my emotions are raw.
Well, I mean, like a full piece of audio or something. Say, for instance, if we were to interview a sports guy on the telephone, maybe not during a podcast, there may be some stuff that we would take out of it. Not because of the stuff that we said, but you only got a 30-minute TV show or a chance to put 2 minutes worth of clips up there. The media is going to make a good
situation.
The media
is looking for a story.
They're trying to keep you 3 minutes, bro. They got to sell a Clorox commercial, a Tide commercial, a Pedigree commercial, and a diapers commercial just to get you through the next commercial break.
They don't have to sell me on diapers. I got to use them no matter what.
Well, you get my point. So they're always going to sensationalize whatever the story is. I don't think the guy had any ill intent. If you get offered a job in the NFL, you've worked your ass off, bro. So high fives to you.
That's what I'm saying. I am not saying I don't really think he's a bad guy. I think I like the guy because not a lot of people would have gone into that Baylor situation and said, let me try to resurrect Baylor and, you know, go in there what the circumstances were. And all accounts is he's a really good human being from what you read. And he's really football savvy. And maybe his goal, his life goal, was to get an NFL head coaching job.
He's just a winner. I would be, as any NFL coach, I'd be like, look, this guy took a program. You didn't walk into a program that was
just... that was on top. He built it to almost, you know, he built it to a...
And he deserves what he gets. And if I'm not mistaken, they haven't released the dates yet, but I think I got a little inkling into the Chiefs' schedule next year, and I might be seeing that bib in person.
Oh.
I think the Panthers play the Chiefs next year.
In Arrowhead?
I don't know where it's at, but I'll travel
oh,
for
Carolina's
a good shot.
Carolina's right down the road, man.
Hey, and now what's
play some golf in the Carolinas.
What's he going to do with Cam, though?
Well,
trade that cat.
I don't know. That's a great question, because at first we thought Kyle Allen was okay. But Kyle Allen regressed back to what Kyle Allen is, an undrafted quarterback that struggled. Then they brought in Will Greer the last couple of the games, and God, Will Greer looked horrendously bad. So do maybe Carolina goes out? There's a lot of free agent quarterbacks: Tannehill, Mariota, Phillip Rivers,
Tom Brady.
What's his name? Famous Jameis. So there are options.
He's going back to the Bucks, Bub. He's in the best in the league. Just ask him.
No, look at me.
I can see Famous Jameis going to the Panthers.
Famous Jameis said, look at me. Look at my stats. I'm balling.
Yeah, whatever it was his stats. Yeah.
I mean, that is such a hilarious line.
Keep in mind, his final pass of the year was to an opponent.
Interception. On a pick six.
Yeah, right. So did Brady.
Yeah.
What's up?
It was tipped.
What's that?
Why?
No. He just it correlated with what he was saying.
I love it.
So yeah, I don't know what you do with
Brady
Cam.
Might have ended his career on a pick. On a,
his career is not over.
Okay.
Now I do have a.
You don't think it's over? You.
I don't think it's over.
Okay, over. But do you think it's over in New England?
No.
Okay.
Who is New England?
I wasn't saying that it was. I was asking.
You weren't here. So who? If you're New England, really, who are you going to bring in that's better than Brady?
I love how he asks these questions. Do you need to make this decision right now?
Right.
Without any research.
Well, I just named those free agent quarterbacks.
Are you talking about replacing? But I mean, I don't think that the Patriots are a Band-Aid organization. Like, I think when it is truly the Patriots' reign is over, Brady, you know, all the players that make it the reign and the dynasty that it is,
Tom Brady,
you're
going
to have
Bill
to
Belichick.
Rebuild. You're not going to Band-Aid it. You know, Belichick, not that Belichick doesn't have the ability to do that, but I think that they would probably, getting rid of Tom Brady has nothing to do with his talent. I mean, nobody's going to sit here and say that Tom Brady isn't worthy of starting for any team in the NFL, fan or not, of Tom Brady. He is what he is.
Now, there's certain teams like
I would. Is the money worth Tom Brady?
He's cheap. He's cheaper than most quarterbacks.
If he left, he wouldn't be.
It depends. No, well, he can take that discount anywhere he goes, like he does with New England.
I don't think his ability and his talents have nothing to do with why he wouldn't be a player on the Patriots moving forward. Like, that's not why you get rid of Tom Brady. You get rid of Tom Brady from strictly, and not that I'm educated enough to make these decisions, but business decisions, money-wise. Like, how do we best put our resources, not for this year, how do we best put our, you know, if we've got to say goodbye to the greatest ever, so that we can have another dynasty here in five
or
10 years.
That's the greatest dynasty ever.
Nobody can compare to how many Super Bowls. I'm not a fan, brother.
The smartest thing that the Patriots do is they cut players. They let go of players before they get old, before it's too late. They may cut them a year early where they go and have a productive year somewhere else.
They missed that deadline, brother.
But, guys, he just won a Super Bowl less than 365 days ago.
I do think it's a little stretch to be burning his jersey, Pats fans. What did I see on Twitter about some guy that was burning a –
I didn't see that.
No, don't even bring attention to that because that would be the dumbest thing ever.
I didn't see that at all.
You have to – yeah, no, there was some player and he was watching and they were burning
– a player?
A fan was wearing – Google it. It might have been the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, I'm thinking, come on, man. That guy's giving you – how many Super Bowls? Nine?
I mean, taking you to nine.
Pretty impressive, man.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So where am I going to be?
It's not fair to Edelman.
I don't know, but I've got a few.
Wes Welker.
I've got a chance to get. I think I'm gonna get Jabbar a Super Bowl. I think I'm gonna get a Super Bowl before I die. I think Patrick Mahomes is gonna bring me one
before you die, brother.
Yeah.
Brother, you're a young man, brother.
I know, but I mean, hey, dude, hey, Super Bowls aren't guaranteed.
You're right.
I mean,
people
live their whole life and never make get to see their
right. Because
I'm probably
said that to Cubs fans back in the '40s. Oh, you're a young man. You got plenty of time to see the Cubs win a World Series.
No. The Chiefs show promise.
Yeah,
the Chiefs weren't around
in the '40s. The Cubs could have been showing promise.
Still no
guarantees.
What
did the history books say? They show promise.
Yes, the '69 Miracle Mets, the mother
There's no guarantees, I think
we weren't alive for that, though.
I think St. Patty's going
to
bring us one.
No, I think that you have a good chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Here is where you get in trouble. This is where you get...
Are you talking about the Chiefs?
Yes.
Yeah. We've got to start with something negative first. Right.
No, you have 2 years.
SportsCenter.
With Mahomes?
Yes. Because then you have to pay Mahomes.
Okay.
And what do I always tell you? When you got to pay the quarterback...
You can't afford the rest.
You can't afford the rest. That's when it gets troubling.
And he's always said this is why the Patriots win, because Brady takes a pay cut.
He does.
So they can distribute the cash a little bit.
This is why the Patriots have been able to maintain what they've been able to maintain.
I would agree with you on that.
It's because Brady has his household.
He wants to win more than he wants square footage on his house.
Also,
I mean, those kids don't want to win.
But here's the thing.
Whoa, have you seen that house?
Here's the other thing. His household income is not, he's not the breadwinner. He's not the one that brings in the most money, and he doesn't have to because he has a supermodel wife that brings in four times of what he makes. So he can take the discount.
Is that accurate?
Oh, she makes a ton of money.
She makes more money than Tom Brady?
Yes.
But we're talking about money as if money is on the radar for us three. At that level, money's probably not even in your dictionary.
You
got
to keep up with the Joneses, brother.
It is still in the dictionary because you see guys leave teams to take $12 million instead of $11.5 million.
I'm just saying, point is, I don't think money is really at that level of wealth is really comes into much of your decision-making.
Not just wealth.
I guess I'm talking Tom Brady and his wife.
I mean, Latrell Sprewell was making like $20 million a year back in the day.
He's broke, right?
Yes, and they asked him to take a pay cut, and he goes, man, I got to feed my children. Like, what the hell you mean you got to feed? You're making $20 million a year, buddy.
Okay, well, if you're spending 21, you're broke. I mean, you can always spend more than you have.
So I think money always does come into it. Like, there is a money factor because you want to take – and you want to get yours while you can.
I just wonder at that level of wealth.
That's what I think about the Patriots is they're smart because they get rid of guys early enough.
Now, what's the problem with the Chiefs?
The Chiefs is
– and the Patriots are done, by the way, Bub. Just know that.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
What do you mean done? Tell me
done being a dynasty, I think. This isn't a Chiefs party. I'm just saying I think that dynasty – we've got some new dynasties. The Baltimore Ravens. You've got –
the Ravens have won how many Super Bowls? It's not a dynasty. They haven't even made the damn Super Bowl.
Does that have to do with this year?
They haven't even won a playoff game.
They haven't played?
Exactly.
They play Saturday.
But you are making them a dynasty, and they haven't even won a playoff game.
I'm not making them a dynasty any more than
you
I'm
just
saying
said,
that there's
you just
a
said we have new dynasties.
Yes. They've got to be built. You just don't say, hey, guys, there's a blueprint for a dynasty.
Come talk to me when they win two Super Bowls. That's when you start talking about a dynasty.
So you would argue with me a few years back.
10 years ago?
You would argue with me that there's not a changing of the guard? I'm just saying you really think the Patriots are going to continue in the next 5 years to be the dominating force that they have been
next year?
You think they're going to be dominating next year?
How many games did the Patriots win this year?
Oh, my gosh. Coach, please, we talked about this yesterday.
12! Exactly! So how
did they
can
play?
They...
The Dolphins!
Twice, lost once. At home in a game that meant more than any game the entire season.
Come on, Coach. Let's move on.
They won 12 games.
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
What's wrong with the Chiefs?
No, I don't think they're a dynasty, but tell me about the Chiefs.
What's the one problem with the Chiefs?
No, I told you that. If they got to pay Mahomes, you got two years.
I think you have a good point there.
You have 2 years, and then that's when it gets trickiest, because then the quarterback wants $35, $40 million, and they take up 35, 40% of your salary cap, and you can't pay the offensive line, or you can't pay for wide receivers. But you can't say no to Patty, though, right?
I mean, you agree with that. So you're going to have to pay him what he has to pay.
In football, you need to pay your offensive line. Because if you don't have an offensive line, you're paying that quarterback $25 million. But if he can't stand back there,
career.
It doesn't matter. If he doesn't have time to throw the dang ball, what difference does it make? So that offensive line, even though they don't get the love, they need to get the
– But you wouldn't argue that you're going to pay Pat?
No, I wouldn't argue that at all.
So you're certainly going to let – who do you let go of? Excuse me.
Oh, God, I have no idea. I can't tell you all that.
So what's the good thing about the Chiefs?
That the Patriots are on the way down. This is their opportunity. Like they have a franchise quarterback who is young. They have athletes all over the field, and I think they can win it this year. I think they're good enough to beat Baltimore. So I'm not counting them out. I'm not giving ball. I'm saying so. This is a good year.
By this year, you're meaning you meant they could have beat them this year if they would have been in it, or you're saying the following season?
No, the Chiefs right now.
I said right now they could win.
I think the Chiefs can win. I think the Chiefs' defense has improved enough over the last year, because that was your downfall last year.
That was our crippling against Houston this year, too, so it'll be exciting to see.
Last year, also, I thought with Kareem Hunt, you would have won the Super Bowl.
Hard to argue that.
I think you need a running back. You need to be able to run the ball. That's my one problem with the Chiefs now, is even when they have a lead, they can't milk the clock because they can't run the ball.
It's tough.
So every team that they're playing is still in the game because they're up by 10 and they drop back and throw the ball three times, three incomplete passes. You wasted 15 seconds off the clock.
It's sad as a Chiefs fan, even in the second half, and a lot of times when you're up 13, 17 points, if you find yourself up there, like you said, games that you should be able to manage and should be able to win, it's always a struggle, man. It seems like it's always a fourth quarter game with Andy Reid. And I'm a very much foot on the pedal kind of guy. You know, I want to beat you as much as I can. I mean, I want to try to get to the end of the game, and that scares me about Reed. I do think we're gonna beat Houston, man. I've got a good feeling about that. The defense is getting stronger. Damian Williams is really coming to his own. I mean, I know you talk about the rush, which nobody can deny that. You've got to have that rush, and especially with the Chiefs, like a potent offense like that, the capabilities, if you do have that run, you're already making just an extremely dangerous wide receiver core that much more dangerous. I'm excited about Williams. He's got that fire. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, the guy's running right
like
now.
Like I said,
I think
you're going to beat the Texans. And the Texans, someone was like, you didn't even talk about the Texans and Bills game yesterday. So
it was a good game.
It was a good game. And you want to know what that was? It was a star taking over the game. Deshaun Watson just took over.
Took over.
That's just what he did. He said, look, man, I'm a star. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to win this game. And he did it. Great.
He had no other choice.
It was his step-up moment. He stepped up.
He had no other choice. The Texans are really, really tied with their options. If Hopkins isn't open, they're screwed. Their running game, not there.
Yeah, and Will Fuller can't get on the field.
It's hit or miss because, I mean, Hyde.
But the beauty of it is when Deshaun Watson wants to keep the ball and play hard, we saw that he can go hard.
I don't know how he didn't get killed on that sack. Like, I mean, that dude was coming full blast.
Watched it a bunch.
Two guys. Both guys hit him from both sides, and it's like, how did they both fall down? Is it because the momentum and that kept them upright? I don't know.
But the problem is you can't win a lot of games like that.
That's the thing. That's why they're so inconsistent. It's because if you rely on that all the time, that's how you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was awesome to watch Deshaun Watson because I really like Deshaun Watson. Watching him, I like his attitude. I like the way he plays. And I thought it was a superstar moment for him to say, you know, like, I'm trying to be one of the best in the league.
What's kind of cool to me is to see, like, a Josh Allen, you know.
I like him.
He's full of, you know, he's young. He's full of energy.
Speaking of young, happy birthday, Lamar Jackson. Today he turns 23.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
To me, it's cool to see a young quarterback get served a little bit and just get that taste of reality of, like, all right, I got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that in him because he does have what it takes to be a badass quarterback. But he just didn't have
some of the plays he made. He I think the nerves of the fourth quarter and overtime got to him.
Yes.
Because there was one where he scrambles. I mean,
you think the one where he ladders it back
my God.
With 50
for no
seconds
reason.
Left? I'm like, what are you
doing?
Well, he
scrambled for like 20 yards.
Yeah, hell
so
of a
just
play.
Go down,
50
get
seconds.
Up.
Seconds. I think it was over a minute left.
Get up and spike the ball, whatever. But for some reason, he tries to make the hero play after gaining 20 yards and lateral it backwards. I'm like, oh my God!
Yeah.
When I first
and luckily
saw
they
it,
kept the ball, but I was like, wow.
Crazy. I thought maybe he had lost control of it and he was just doing his best way to get it.
He was
like,
trying to make a play out of it.
Yeah. And then I thought, you know, maybe he dropped it and he was trying to get it out of bounds. Like, oh crap, I'm going to fumble it, you know. I'm like, dude, yeah. Well, how do you?
That's a young kid.
But that's a young quarterback.
Never being in that position.
But
your
just
first
that thought
time
popping
in the big
your head.
Moment. I mean, you got to understand. The kid went and played at the University of Wyoming. He had no idea he was going to be drafted until he watched SportsCenter and they started talking about he's rising up draft boards. He's like, what? And you know, during the season, his senior year, he's like, whoa, I have a chance to be a first round pick. Like, he didn't know this small town kid that didn't get recruited very much. All of a sudden, you're in the National Football League playoffs, your second year, I think it's his second year starting, third year, and that's a lot of pressure. It's going to get to a lot of
shutting
people.
Shutting out a road team in the second half, wasn't it still a shutout in the second half?
It was impressive. But yeah, it was a good game, and I'm excited. Now, the New York Football Giants hire a coach, and Judge is going to New York City.
Oh my gosh.
No, Aaron Judge isn't going to come and coach the.
So who did they hire? I thought.
I think his name is Joe Judge. He is the wide receiver coach / special teams coordinator for the New England Patriots.
Huh. Never heard of him.
Exactly.
And that's what you're saying. Like, oh, Kyle, there are so many coaches out there available. This is what they did. They found a random dude.
I wanted to see Jason Garrett go to the Giants.
Well, they are interviewing him for the offensive coordinator position.
Wouldn't that be something?
And the thing is, with Joe Judge, everybody's like, oh, my God, who did they hire? What? This is the type of hire that is okay with me because there's smart football people. So they know how good of a coach this guy is or they think he is. Instead of just hiring the retreads like the Mike McCarthy's, yeah, the Ron Rivera's, mm-hmm, they all might end up working out, but I just feel like the NFL does that. They just go through the same coaches over and over.
And look what system that guy's getting hired out of. So that's automatic. Right. You know, that automatically speaks well for him.
Yes, but a lot of the Bill Belichick assistants don't seem to do that well. But the guy down in Flores, down in Miami, he seems to maybe have them on the right track. Patricia, we'll see. I thought the Lions were pretty good this year, and then Stafford just got hurt, and it just all fell off. They were in every single game. So I'm interested to see what this guy can do. So everybody's going to mock it on like, oh, my God, how did they hire this coach? What a bunch of idiots. When in reality, it's like, these are the type of hires that I like.
You,
when
just
it's
think, like, you think he's as good as anyone else.
Right. Because I have
Until
he proves not to be. Because I don't know enough about the special teams coordinator of the New England Patriots to tell you that's a bad hire.
I feel like in the NFL, you want to go with security, something that you've already seen happen already, like McCarthy.
That's what a lot of teams
do. We've seen him win a Super Bowl. We know, mm-hmm, what he's capable of doing. This Judge guy, they have no video, no footage on him, so they have no idea what to get. They're taking a big risk, and with risk comes criticism.
Yes, but can come big reward. It's sort of like you're going to find
You're right. It could.
You're going to find the next Bill Belichick eventually. The next, you know, Andy Reid's a pretty darn successful coach. Like, he's one of the retreads that actually works.
Well,
like,
got
he was
your
so
people
successful in Philadelphia, comes to Kansas City and immediately successful. All these other coaches. Just think about all the coaches that they keep going through. They don't seem to work out.
It comes down to who you're going to hire. I mean, the boss man who's hiring a coach. You've got, you know, think of it as investing in mutual funds. You've got some people who put their money in a low
risk
stock.
That,
you've got some people that put their money in a high risk stock. So do you want, when you say like a staple coach that's been floating around the NFL, somebody with a proven track record, been to
Super Bowl?
Yeah,
do you want to play it safe?
Do you want somebody like that, or do you want the opportunity? Because when somebody doesn't have on field presence per se, you know, like you don't have game footage,
yes,
of them being a head
coach. All of us average fans are like, oh, why'd you hire this idiot?
All they've got, which we're not exposed to, is face-to-face interview.
A
man saying, this is what I can do for your team. This is what I believe. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of different ingredients that come into the hire when you don't have the on-field footage or the track record of being a head coach. But you got somebody that says, look, man, do you want somebody who's tried and tried and tried and tried? Or do you want somebody that lines up with what you want that's going to be here for a while? You know,
a fresh ideas instead of the retread, like that does the same crap. So because McCarthy's going to bring the same thing he did in Green Bay.
Ideas get stale quick too.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily though. I mean, I guess my point is you've got
look
your
at
people.
Look at the Rams, dude. He
some
was
people
so
want to
awesome
take a
to
chance
watch first year.
With McVay?
Yeah. And now, all right, they got a grip on what he does now. They know how he works.
Well, I think as any owner, I mean, if you think you're going to look across from a head coach who's going to give you a Super Bowl every year, you're crazy. I mean, when you're hiring a head coach, I think you've got to realistically, whatever they're telling you, I think you've got to realistically make that into like maybe what, 5 seasons.
Right.
I know they're fired up. They're like, next year we're going to.
That's what I was saying about McCarthy, too. It's like.
McCarthy, you better be ready next year. You better. You want to see progress year one. That's why you hire a coach.
Right.
And
I'm not expecting it.
You should.
Saying you would expect it more from somebody
McCarthy
than somebody who's just getting
like
their head
Joe Judge.
Right. Somebody new. Not that either one of them don't have the talent to be there, but one has proven it. The other one's just saying, here's what I can do, and we don't know if they're going to do it or not. I mean, what Jason Garrett got however many years to try at Cowboys, and finally he just got to be like, look, dude, you ain't getting it done.
One thing I do have to say is I think you have to give them time. People that fire them after 1, 2 – consistency seems to work. When you give coaches longer – it can work out. If you're so impatient, you keep firing, you're never going to establish a culture or anything.
Because there is recruiting involved. There's things that they can't directly affect day one.
You feel the pressure from the fans and everybody. You keep losing. It's hard to remain patient. And we fire everybody so quick. Like the Falcons, they turned it around. I was firing their coach all season because he was terrible. Mm-hmm. Then he gave up defensive play calling, and they turned it around, and the Falcons said, you know what? We're going to give him another year. Let's go. I don't mind that because he realized there was something wrong, and he changed something. So why not? He took you to a Super Bowl. Give him another shot. It's very interesting. Now, question from the email box. wearethesorelosers@gmail.com. Hey, guys, what's up? It's Benjamin. I'm a senior at the University of Michigan, hashtag fire Harbaugh, and I have a job lined up for next year but need a little help from you guys. I get to pick where I'm going to live because I'm a consultant and my weekly projects will be wherever throughout the country, so I'll just fly there. I'm leaning towards Chicago since most of my boys are living there, but I also like L.A. and Nashville. Where would you guys choose if you had the opportunity?
Single dude? What?
Single dude. Senior in college, sounds like a single dude.
I mean, fresh start. He can work. He can live wherever.
Yeah.
I think Nashville's a cool place. I don't like L.A. I mean, it's a dude straight out of college. You don't have any money. I have heard cool things for people that like outdoors. L.A. is kind of cool in a way where you have the beach 30 minutes away, and then you have mountains an hour away. Like, you can do some really cool outdoor stuff in L.A., but L.A., just the feel of L.A., there's too much of like, yeah, I got big stuff going on, man. Yeah, like, it's just the vibe in L.A. is just not cool to me.
Where does he come from?
Well, he's at the University of Michigan.
I was trying to see, you know, what kind
but
of life.
But Nashville's got a cool vibe, a lot of good-looking women here. Like, if that's what he's looking for, get a good start in life. The culture around here is cool.
Music City is the place to be. Can I just say that?
Nightlife is awesome. It's great.
But there's about 20 cranes in the sky.
There's 20 cranes in every developing city.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I don't travel as much as you do, but I know this city is
just
insane.
It's part of growth. To me, cranes are good. That means your city's growing.
No, I love it. Just stay off them scooters, dude.
After reading the email, first of all, L.A., no. Yep. To me, L.A., no, because it's a bunch of pretentious people.
Correct.
It's very expensive. And I'm going to assume maybe you have family money and you are going to go to L.A. Going out to the bars is going to be hard because women there, I think, are going to expect, oh, $20 a drink. They're looking for guys with money, Hollywood money. It's harder to go out and have a good time in L.A. Also, if you're going to be flying because you're a consultant every week, it's going to be hard if you have a job in North Carolina. So you're going to have these long flights week after week after week.
Yeah, you want to be centralized.
You want to be centralized.
That's a great point.
Especially when you're young. You can take a vacation to L.A. with your boys. You can take a vacation to Vegas with your boys real quick. But if you're in L.A., you're cut off from half the country, really. So L.A.'s out. Nashville, you guys make good points. You can start off new. You can make new friends, new memories. There's a lot to do in Nashville. It's a growing city. It's a really cool place to live.
Yeah. Great restaurants,
and we have a football team, we have a hockey team, we have a minor league baseball team in Nashville.
And
soccer,
you have us. Soccer too, professional soccer.
We have professional soccer also
in
Nashville.
And we could be your neighbors.
We could be your, and you have Vanderbilt football. Sure. No, that's the joke.
Okay.
My pick is Chicago.
Winners in Chicago.
Winners, but he's at the University of Michigan, so he's used to the cold.
Winners in Chicago.
He Brutal. Knows what cold is. He's used to the snow.
Does he want to stay in the snow?
He doesn't say. That's all. It was a two-line email. Mm. So I would say—
I love Chicago. Chicago's great, but the one thing I've heard from everyone that lived in Chicago was I had to get away. The winters are too harsh.
Benjamin.
And isn't it—
Your boys.
It's dangerous too, right?
Every city is dangerous.
You have your
dangerous people are getting shot here.
I mean, he's not going to live in the dangerous part. He goes to the University of Michigan. He's going to live in the nice. He's going to live.
Maybe it's full scholarship.
Right by.
Why would you ever, honestly, you're going to make an argument as to pick Chicago over Nashville?
Yeah.
I love this.
I'm going to tell you why.
Refill my coffee.
Because his boys are in Chicago. A lot of his boys.
Make new boys.
No, you can make new boys. And that's true. You're going to make new boys throughout your life.
That's right.
But you're in your early 20s.
Yep.
These are your boys. You're already comfortable. Just think, right out of college, you already got a job. You can go out and make memories with your boys in Chicago. It's central. You have football, baseball, basketball, hockey. Every professional sport you want are right there in Chicago. The nightlife in Chicago is amazing. The food in Chicago is amazing. The entertainment in Chicago is amazing. I would pick Chicago.
I'm not going to argue with you about everything about Chicago because Chicago is amazing. Yes. I love Chicago. One of my favorite cities in America.
I love it.
Very, very cool. I'm gonna disagree with you on the whole boys thing. Coach, life is about starting over in different places. Mm-hmm. You have memories with your boys already. Those are the memories. It's like you and your boys. You moved to Nashville and you left all your boys in Austin.
But if I could choose, I would be in Austin with my boys.
But you're not.
But he has a choice.
I know. Choose a new adventure. You can always go back to your boys.
And also,
you're never gonna know what it was like to get away.
You cannot always go back to your boys because in a few years your boys are gonna or you are gonna start getting married
or you. So it could
or
be
you.
Him too.
What happens? What happens if he picks up his whole world and moves to Chicago with that mentality, and then his boys happen to progress in life at a faster rate than he does? Meaning, you know, maybe a lady, a children. Where because when you
he can make new boys in Chicago.
I mean, what have your boys done for you in your life?
Had my back.
I mean, let's get real, though. Eddie's our boy. You know, you're my boy, but you guys have responsibilities. You're both married men. You both have children.
Right.
So at some point,
but this
he
guy
may get
is
to
not.
Chicago. And I know, but I'm saying he may get to Chicago, set up his quote-unquote forever life for the next chapter, and then all of his boys, sorry, man, I got a wife and kids at home. I can't go out and watch a game
tonight.
Literally,
can change in 6 months.
Yes. Well, it can change in 30 seconds.
But, I mean, get that.
How, brother?
You can have a
kid
in 30
seconds.
I'm just saying.
Bro, 30 seconds?
30 seconds. Well,
I mean, you might want to
check. I wouldn't be getting on a podcast bragging about
that,
bro.
Brother, I mean, 30 seconds,
my point is your world can change.
I don't want no 30-second man.
When you say
it's a one-minute man. Okay.
When you say boys, I'm just saying, when you say boys, there's a lifestyle. Like, when you say boys, I know what you mean by boys, meaning everything that comes with having boys and what you do, like, you know, golfing or bars or looking for girls and all
that
stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm saying,
going
what
to the games, I mean,
people mature at different levels. What if his boys turn into men and then all of a sudden, hell, he's stuck in Chicago and he's going to have to make new boys? Eddie said, why don't you just make new boys from the get-go? You can tweet your boys from Chicago.
You can see them during Christmas break.
Bring them to Nashville. How cool would it be? Be like, yeah, man, we're going to see our boy in Nashville.
Coach, one of my coolest memories was when I left to college.
Okay.
And I knew no one. No one whatsoever. But I had a class, an English class, and I met a dude named Dave. He was cool. We would laugh a little bit. We would just tell jokes in the back of the class, whatever. One time, me and Dave's like, hey, I'm going out with my buddies. You want to come out with me? Sure. Dave was more established there at the university. I wasn't. I was brand new.
What university are we talking?
Sam Houston State.
All right, go
eat
ahead.
Eat them up, cats.
Love it.
So me
home
and
Dave, world famous Josh McCown.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Dave invites me out. We go out and I hang out with Dave and a couple of his buddies or whatever. We see another dude named Scott, who's also in our class, but we don't. It's like, yeah, he sits like two seats behind us, dude. Scott, what up? Coach, to this day, me, Dave, and Scott, boys.
Love it.
And we didn't, and I had no idea what I was doing. But I met Dave through class. I met Scott when I went out with Dave. We started a whole new chapter in my life. Eddie, Dave, and Scott.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And my other boys back from McAllen, sure, I still saw them.
Here's the problem. This guy's going to be traveling for work. It's going to be harder to make those boys.
No, come on. He's not traveling every day.
He said he's a consultant, so he's going to be.
Yes, Monday through Friday, coach.
Yes, so exactly. At your job is where you usually meet your boys when you're in the workforce.
So you're saying
so
with
he's
him
gonna
traveling.
So he's going to have to go to the bar by himself.
I've done it.
So you're saying with him traveling, he could move to Nashville, like Eddie and I are saying, and use his frequent flyer miles from flying all year long to go to Chicago to see his boys or bring his boys there.
I am going
Everybody
with
wins.
Chicago.
And then plus, if he moves to Nashville, he's got winning teams to cheer for.
One time, you know, I was living in Austin, got a little stir crazy, and I rented a car, and I was like, I'm just going to go for a drive.
You're the weirdest human ever.
And I drove by myself to Nashville, Tennessee.
I love it.
Just to get away.
How old are you?
This is what, like 10 years ago?
What is wrong with renting a car and seeing the world?
About, you are such.
About 10 years ago.
You are.
Coach, I get to Nashville at about 8:30 at night.
I've never met anybody so weird in my life.
I'm hungry. And I went to Hooters. They're downtown Nashville.
Great. Yeah, okay. Good
job. First place I saw them, wings, sat at the bar. No one around me. Sat at the bar by myself.
I met the bartender with her boobies hanging out.
Nope.
That was a great idea.
Nope. This dude sat next to me, started talking to him.
George Strait.
Nope.
Dave.
Garth Brooks.
And I go, hey, man, so how you doing? He's like, I'm good, man. I just moved here. He's like, dude, I'm just visiting. I just got here like 10 minutes ago. Really? That's cool. We started talking.
So did you spend the night at his house?
This dude. No, we hung out all night. But this dude.
Did you get his number?
I know the guy now. He's a TV personality in town.
I
met him the first day
What's
that
his name?
He moved to Shane Talent. And I met him the first day he moved to Nashville. And I was just coming out of nowhere. And we sat at a bar and talked. And I saw him the other day, too. And every time I see him, I'm like, that's crazy, man. You and I like met a long time ago when I knew no one in this town.
And you just picked up a car and drove.
Random.
Just wanted to be here. Did you come here? I know you're talented. Did you come here because you're musically? I know
I
you're talented.
Wanted,
or you
I
just
wanted
to see what it
I just wanted to see Nashville.
I love it.
My wife and I were having issues or whatever, and I just wanted to get away for a few days, and I did.
I wish I'd have been here, brother. I'd have met you up there at Hooters.
He wouldn't have known you, brother.
He didn't know Shane.
I didn't know Shane.
Hell, he didn't know Scott.
I see Shane at the CMA Awards every year.
So do you still hang out with Shane?
No,
so
but I'm saying.
What a great story.
I made
what
a great friend.
He made
story.
A friend.
Coach, I don't hang out with anyone. I have a wife and four kids. What I don't hang out with anyone.
That's like me when I was flying to a wedding and I met two chicks on the plane and I spent the night in their hotel room. I mean.
No, that's really not anything like
oh,
it.
That's your wife, right?
No.
Oh, Lord.
No.
And we'll be right back.
I mean, dude.
All right. After
dude,
all right.
This is, I was flying to McAllen for a wedding.
See?
Harlingen, really. You're flying to Harlingen right. In South Texas. And I get on the plane, okay? And I'm not taking a date or anything. So I go and sit, and there's one seat next to me, and there's a seat in the row behind us. And these last two girls on the plane are walking back. And there's this kid, probably about 16, sitting next to me. And I'm like, this mother better get up and let these chicks sit here. He better hop back to that seat.
Why would he, though?
Because
you were just hoping it.
They're two friends, so I'm hoping that he's going to let them
sure,
sit
right,
together.
Right,
you know, this 16-year-old little punk.
And by you.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to be
by
me.
Obviously, not for selfish reasons.
You just
want the girls to move up, get closer to the front of the plane
ladies,
so they can get up.
Because I'm literally the next to last row on the plane, so the last row is where they would have had to sit one and one.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, you're
so
always thinking of others.
Come on up, ladies.
Yes. So the kid ends up getting up and lets the girl sit there. Boom. Here we go. Let's go.
Daddy gets the green light.
Daddy is on fire. So daddy starts talking to him like, oh, blah, 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 blah. daddy, talk, talk, talk. You know, girls chatting it up. They're feeling daddy. They're feeling daddy.
Oh,
sorry. We're going to have to get off this plane. We're going to need a new plane. We got mechanical issues.
Hey, did you do the joke? This never happens when I fly private.
No, this is before I knew that joke.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, crap. This just ruined it.
You've already started the game.
Oh, I started the game. We sat there for 30 minutes at least, just sitting on the plane like, what the heck's going on? So then we get off the plane. They're like, well, hey, why don't we go to the bar and drink? Okay.
Did you invite the other dude that you kicked out of the
seat? He's like 12, he's dude. He's 16 again. No, drink. They invite daddy to the bar.
Oh, and Who's that?
Daddy's me.
Oh, okay.
So daddy's all in. Daddy is like, let's go.
I still got to eat. Quit with the daddy. Bro.
So daddy goes to the bar, and we sit there, and we just drink. And we're pounding drinks.
What's daddy drink? I got to know.
I'm too invested
in the story now.
Daddy is drinking whatever they're drinking. I didn't care. We took a couple shots.
Is daddy buying their drinks?
We're switching off.
Okay, I'll take this one, you take that one.
Yeah, I'll get this round, yeah. Okay.
Daddy's paying with drink coupons. You know he is from the
bar. No,
it's at the bar in the airport. Yeah, so then daddy, they're like, oh, man, last call to board the flight. And so we got to run and get on the flight.
What does daddy do?
Daddy's like, let's go. And we're the last three on the plane.
Daddy gets his cane and hobbles to the bar.
So the last people on the plane, the row's already taken. The 10-year-old's back in the middle seat.
So, well, this is not assigned seats because it's Southwest.
Oh, my God.
So daddy and the girls got to separate.
Oh.
We all get middle seats. And I'm like, dang, daddy never going to see these girls again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So are you guys intoxicated? Did daddy bring the girls back on with a buzz? Or how much?
We had a buzz. I mean, we'd been drinking a little while.
Good Lord.
And so, I mean, it's like an hour flight. It's real quick. But, you know, so it's about 2 hours later when we get off the plane, whatever, you know, because you got to get on, do all the safety instructions, back up, whatever. So 2 hours later, we're down in Harlingen. I'm like, I'm never going to see these. Daddy's going to never see these girls again. Boy, howdy. Guess who waited at the top of the jetway?
The 16-year-old.
No, the ladies waited for daddy.
Ladies?
What are the age? Oh, we were
in their 20s probably, right?
Yeah, we were turned 25.
Okay, they're waiting at the end of the walkway.
Yeah, and so I come out, and they're like, oh, yeah. So they're like, we got to go get our rental cars
You make out with them?
No.
Oh.
So we go down, and we both had to get rental cars. Yeah. And we get our rental cars, and they're like, here's our number if you want to come party in Padre with us. And I'm like, hey, daddy's down to party in Padre.
You were going to a wedding in McAllen.
I was going to a wedding in McAllen.
Yeah, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away from
exactly.
Padre.
So.
Maybe an hour.
Yeah, it's about an hour.
Yeah.
And so.
Not the way daddy drives.
When daddy's being too hot,
daddy's going.
He'll be there in 30 minutes.
Daddy is like, all right, let's go. So. I had nothing to do that Friday night. I was meeting a friend from college, her and her family, for dinner. And so I'm already late because the flight was delayed.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find my hotel, and I was like, oh, my God. So I had to pull over and change clothes in a gas station bathroom. So I change, and I go to dinner, and I eat dinner, and then these girls text me like, hey, you coming to Padre? I'm like, daddy's on his way. Daddy never even went to...
After dinner?
After dinner.
Okay.
Daddy never went to his hotel yet. Daddy hadn't even been to the hotel, dude.
About a little over an hour drive.
Yeah. Hour drive. I go to Padre, and we party it up down in Padre. I mean, we party hard. And so Daddy's like, oh, man, I'm hammered. The girl's like, coming back to our room? And I'm like, Daddy's coming back to your room.
Dang.
Yeah.
What happened?
Let's just say that Daddy had some fun with one of them.
Oh.
The hottie. I mean, they were both hot, but the one, and we hit it off, and we had a good time.
And what did the other one do?
They had, what do you...
Why are you stuttering?
They had a suite.
What happened, Coach?
They had two rooms.
Hey, it's just me and brother. It's me and brother.
Hey, they had a suite, so we had our own room.
Okay.
I think.
Were you attracted to one more than the other?
Oh, yeah.
Or were you thinking,
No. I was attracted to one more than the other.
Okay.
And I felt like she was feeling me more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the other one slept on the couch. I don't know.
So the other one was a wingman.
She was great. She was amazing. So, you know what I mean? I wake up the next day. We eat breakfast.
Do you find your clothes easy or
yeah, oh yeah, they're in the hotel room. Okay. I mean, they're there. And we hang out, and then I'm like, man, I gotta get back to McAllen. I gotta get to that wedding. I hadn't even checked into my hotel yet, guys.
Hey, yeah, okay. You stay in theirs.
So I drive back to McAllen.
That's about an hour drive.
I check into the hotel. I take a shower.
I noticed the daddy references stopped. Now it's and, I. It was daddy. No,
but daddy, no. The girls are gone.
Well, daddy's got to hang
out. You just reminded him.
No. I was gone. And so I go to the hotel, check in, take a shower, go to the wedding. And I'm at the wedding, and daddy gets a text.
You coming back?
You coming back tonight?
More?
And I'm like, man, this sounds like a good idea. So I go to the wedding. I go to the reception for about 45 minutes.
45 minutes? That is what it takes to get to the...
No potential. I'm like, hey, congratulations. I'll see you guys later. I'm headed back to Padre.
No potential.
Daddy's on his way back to Padre.
No potential. Like, he wasn't at the wedding to celebrate my friends getting married. He's like, went to the wedding. No potential.
That's how he rolled back in the day.
That's how you roll when you're 25 years old. So I go back to Padre, and we go party again. And Daddy, and then other girl meets some dudes. And so, you know, Daddy was like, she was good to me last night. So,
goodness.
You know, I'll go with them. And we go to this after party with these guys. And Daddy's.
Oh, no.
What?
All y'all ended up in one room?
No. Daddy got hammered.
Oh, no. And you don't remember what happened?
No.
And all the guys were there?
No.
You woke up with all the dudes?
No, because he woke up. All the girls were gone. It was
You woke up, the chicks are gone, and all dudes.
No. Daddy's sitting by the pool, you know what I mean? And one of the guys pushes me in the pool.
Oh,
I got my phone in the pocket.
And you kicked his ass.
No,
he just lost all the girls' digits. He doesn't have
any way to... No, but Daddy is with the girls.
Okay, so
I'm pissed at these dudes.
Yeah.
And they give me a pair of shorts. I still got them, by the way. A pair of Nike blue shorts,
you
basketball shorts.
Them.
Love that.
But I was pissed.
Yeah,
I was
pushed
drunk.
You in the pool, man.
I went and peed on one of their beds.
Coach.
I went in there and I peed on one of the beds, which is probably, now that I think about
that's an a-hole move.
What?
Yeah, but he ruined his phone.
He ruined my phone.
He peed on their bed.
I mean, I think if it was...
One thing my dad always told me, you don't mess with a man's bed.
Right. Well, you don't mess with a man's
phone.
Well,
they were renting the place. It wasn't like they owned it.
I get it, but somebody slept on it.
Oh, that's their fault. They threw me in the pool with my phone.
Did you at least put your phone in rice before you peed on him?
No. Here's the thing. I'm hammered, and I do it. And now that I think about it, there was like 10 of them. If I would have got caught doing that...
Oh, they would have killed you.
I'd have been a dead man.
Okay, so what was the end of the story?
So,
what happened?
Then that night, I went back to the hotel with that girl again.
Okay, two
and
nights.
Then Daddy had to get back. I never even stayed at my hotel. All I did was take a shower there. And Daddy had to go to a family reunion when he got back to town. I didn't have a phone. I had to stop at the Sprint store on like a mile from the airport, buy a new phone on the plane back. And I still talk to that girl to this day.
Hell, sounds like you were making...
Thank you. See, and you just ended your story with exactly what I was telling you.
It was incredible.
So what's our guy's name?
Benjamin. But here's what's crazy.
It's your turn to make new memories. Leave your boys back at home. Go find a new city. Make new memories. Hey, make it Nashville.
Here's the thing. And that girl and I were friends on Facebook. We chatted for a while. You
still
know
talk to her?
Well... like we were friends for a while afterward, you know, when we got, because we were both from Austin.
Yeah.
And then she
I'm
ended
need
up
to see a picture because I
oh,
said,
you want to see her?
Well,
come
yeah,
here.
You said she was hot.
All right, you want to see her? Come here.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm going to see if she's hot.
Do you still text her and stuff?
No, no, no. Hold on, brother. Let me pull her up. No, shortly after she ended up meeting her husband or whatever, and we stayed friends or whatever, and we don't talk, like, we don't chat or anything. And about 2 years ago, I ran into her at a charity event. She goes, oh, hey, how's it going? I was like, what's up? She goes, I didn't know if you'd remember. I was like, I remember.
Oh, you never forgot.
Oh,
was your wife with you when you ran into her?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, my wife wasn't there.
Oh, she wasn't there?
No.
Lucky you. Because that would have been awkward if your wife's like, who's that?
She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. It was a blast.
So she was obviously drunk.
Okay.
Hey, good story, Coach. Good story.
Here you go.
She was a pretty
Coacher.
Girl.
Gold skirt.
Oh, wow. Let me see that.
What is her?
No.
No, I'm not saying.
Wait,
what?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good looking.
Really?
Yep.
Pull up her friend. I want to get a visual of what Daddy was. I want to see what Daddy was dealing with.
I'll be honest with you. Daddy don't remember her friend's name.
I'd just be curious to hear the story from Mama's perspective to see how much of that was accurate.
Right.
Well, Daddy went to bed about 10:30.
She probably ended up marrying the dude that pushed you in the pool.
Yeah, no doubt. Probably still got your phone.
No, I kept the phone because I had to get my SIM card out. But
play,
right.
play on.
So, Benjamin, what we decided is you should move to Chicago.
That's right. just move somewhere and make new boys.
Right. Oh. No, we said Chicago where his boys are at.
No.
Come make some new boys, man.
I would
man.
Leave Chicago.
Come here. Hang out with us for an episode.
Chicago's cool, man, but just try something else.
All right.
Try something else for a little bit.
That was fun. I don't know what the hell we talked about, but that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I want to come back because I've been practicing my pregame speech. So
don't worry, Friday, we'll be here. I'll be here Friday.
Yeah, I got the boys ready for the
pregame. Tomorrow we're not going to be here. I mean, we're taking Wednesdays off. That's what we told you guys, and that's what we're doing.
Is our thing on Saturday set in
stone? Oh, Saturday. Guys, we forgot. If you are in the Nashville area, what up, fools? We are doing a watch party. A watch party for the Titans-Ravens game Saturday night.
6:30.
FGL House, 6 o'clock, FGL House, the party starts.
I might be rolling in about 6:30.
Yeah, I may not roll in at 6, but the party starts at 6. We are going to be there, FGL House, downtown Nashville. If you're here Saturday in town, or if you want to get on the road, you know, Taylor Dial, get the dump truck. Let's go.
Mo in Tampa, bring the mail truck.
FGL House, downtown Nashville, it's where it's all at. So
Win or go home for the Titans-Ravens. We're going to be there. I can't wait.
And as a Chief, we need the Titans because, man, I love the Titans, but not as much as I love my Chiefs. If they can beat Baltimore and Kansas City,
I know,
can get things done.
I know. You'll get home field advantage.
It'll be Tennessee against Kansas City at Arrowhead.
That'd be
a big deal. Exciting.
But I was just trying to promote the watch party. So you want to come on by, see us, meet us. I don't know if anybody even lives in Nashville that listens.
Are you going to get drunk?
Probably.
Me too.
Daddy's going to get drunk? Hell, I'll be there if Daddy
gets drunk. Daddy is retired.
No, Daddy is a daddy now.
Daddy's a literal daddy.
Yeah, he's now.
That was a good weekend.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like you're still smiling from telling that story.
Let me tell you, it was so, like, you want to talk about one of those where you just meet random people and do something crazy? I was like, screw it. I mean, I paid for a hotel for a whole weekend and showered in it. That was it.
I would have showered too after that weekend. Good God.
Okay, brother.
I don't know if I believe that story,
30 seconds, brother. I can't believe you got on a freaking podcast and told everyone.
Yeah, all 360. No, we're up to 1,000 listeners, guys.
Really?
1,000. I looked.
I bet
two days ago, it was 1,332.
I bet you that's Mo in Tampa and Taylor's telling all their friends.
I think Mo in Tampa leaves little flyers when he delivers the mail. Hey, check out this podcast.
Mo, if we send you stickers, will you leave them in people's mailboxes?
Yeah. Or stick them on everybody's piece of mail.
Do like they do here when they release records.
On their mailbox.
What if we send him
a magnet he can put on the side of the mail truck?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. All right,
don't forget, we are the sorelosers at gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, and don't forget, buy your shirts.
I still need one. XLT, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Still waiting.
Brother, go to that website he just said, and you get yourself
I don't know if we have XLT. XL tall.
Tall.
Oh,
otherwise,
tall.
It's going to be a belly shirt.
Yeah,
on
that's
me.
What.
Until I'm too big. It is. If it's not T, it's
all. You're going to Winnie the Pooh.
I look like a stripper from day one. I take it out of the
package.
Brother,
that might be your new look.
Might be
it's
new
not
calling,
a bad look. But,
30 seconds with a Benny T on.
Oh, hey! We got to go.
Hit the button.